everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our heart and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Good evening and welcome to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. We have all that covered once again. And, you know, today is July 16th. Tomorrow is the almost now infamous July 17th, 2007, Fire the Grid Day. And tons of listeners have been emailing me going, my God, don't you know about this? Let people know about this. We have been trying, actually, to get a hold of Shelley Yates for weeks, and she must be just overrun, which is a good thing because it means that a record number of people around the globe are probably going to be participating by the looks of things if indications are correct, which means interesting implications. So today on the show, Neil Slade is back. It's been about at least a year, I think, since we talked to him. He's the one behind the Amazing Brain Music Adventure. You can find him online at neilslade.com. We were doing some consciousness experiments on the air previously. Had some interesting feedback about those. And he's had some really interesting results in the past with that work. So of all the people to talk to today about implications of mass focus on positive things in one simultaneous day, let's talk to Neil Slade. Welcome back, Neil, to the News for the Soul.
Hi, how are you doing? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just great. And
great.
You're doing great. And looking forward to whatever's going to go on tomorrow. And I understand you've got a lot of new stuff going on with your work as well. So looking forward.
Lots and lots.
Mm-hmm. So starting at the top, kind of where we left off last time, we had interesting conversations, which, by the way, anybody listening can go to newsforthesoul.com and click on the show archives. They're all free all the time. You can scroll right back to 2002, 2001. So they're all there. So you can hear the shows we did last year with Neil and the actual consciousness experiments, which you can still do online. But, you know, what are the implications of this if we're able to get mass scale numbers of people, in theory, doing, you know, focusing on creating very positive things on the world now together? What are the implications, do you think, of that?
Well, I've experimented with this in the past. The thing that I've learned is not to get too attached to results. I think that's the most effective way to do that kind of mass consciousness. I'm going to switch phones here. That's a better phone. That's the best way to approach the mass kind of consciousness experiments, if you tend to concentrate on the effects of the results, you kind of sabotage what you're doing. And the better way to approach that type of experiment, I found, is just to remain in a positive state of mind and put the positive visualizations out there, and not be too attached to, you know, specific results. Rather, I think there's a saying, you know, enjoy the journey rather than, you know, the end result, the goal. You know, mm-hmm. enjoy the flowers on the way up to the top of the mountain rather than just crave being at the top. Because if you do that, you're going to miss the journey. And I've found that in our paranormal types of experiments, when we're trying to manifest things or click into extraordinary types of experiences, it works much better just to concentrate on the specific action that you're doing, not to really look beyond the positive energy that you're putting out, not to go too far beyond the specific positive visualizations that you're having, and just kind of, you know, be here now, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And those tend to reap the best results in the end.
Well, my understanding of what they're doing tomorrow, 11:11 Greenwich Mean Time, I think. Check this out. Don't listen to me. Take my word for it. Firethegrid.org is the website to go to. But I think my understanding of it is people are going to do whatever they, you know, whatever gives them peace and joy and good feeling, and the idea of it to be exponentially powerful if more and more people are doing it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think from that standpoint, it falls within that criteria of being general. And so you're saying unattached to the outcome, because I guess that puts you back into a wheel as opposed to creating and allowing something to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it sounds like a good project, and I'm all for that kind of thing. You know, you'll get a sort of geometric progression and accumulation effective, and certainly it's how people should be all of the time, and try to stay positively focused. In my own work, our slang for this is click your amygdala forward. And if people go to my website, brainradar.com, we'll show them the parts of the brain that are involved in positive thinking and visualization. You can actually trace through what we know about neurology and brain anatomy what parts of the brain are actually involved in positive thinking. It's not this vague type of elusive, new agey, wishy-washy kind of thing. It's actually positive thinking is a result of specific brain function, and my work over the past 20 years has been really to show people on a very easy to understand level how you click the amygdala forward, how you create this positive imagery, and how you manifest these positive things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
This week, what I've been doing is I call it Brain Radar Week. And if you go to brainradar.com, there's several links at the top of my page that I just put up 15 minutes ago. One is my YouTube page, and if people take that link, that will take you to my YouTube page, and there's lots of video clips on there, including one which had to do with weather modification and using the mind and the brain to change the weather. And if you go to that page, you'll see the links that go back to our Great Brain Focus experiment from 1997, where we had lots of people concentrating on one thing at the same time, and what kind of results we had from that. That's a cloud-busting video.
And that's on YouTube?
Yeah, well, you can just do a Google search for cloud busting Neil Slade, and you'll get many pages related to our brain focus experiment. But if you go to the YouTube link, you can go to YouTube and just type in Neil Slade as well. There's many ways to get there. There's a video in which I went into my backyard and concentrated on vaporizing a specific cloud in the middle of a bank of clouds, and you can see this happen. And it's a kind of a fun way to manifest some positive thinking that people have known about for ages. It's called cloud busting.
Mm-hmm.
So that video is up on YouTube, and there's some other very basic videos that I've put up there of different types of brain topics and things like that. So the YouTube page is pretty fun.
I like what you said about the about not doing this. You know, striving to do this all the time, kind of stay in the space and do these things all the time. And I want to go through before we get too far ahead with what you mentioned about clicking the amygdala forward, because assuming now while they're getting up at Greenwich Mean Time tomorrow or whatever, they could be doing this at the same time.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. And one of the clips on YouTube is me on Canadian Broadcasting News Network showing people what clicking the amygdala forward is. So that's another video on YouTube that's up there now, which is really fun because I've got a model of the brain, and I'm pointing to the specific region in the brain, which is the amygdala, and I very quickly, within 4 minutes, explain to people what clicking the amygdala is and how you do it, and so on and so forth. So the YouTube page has been a real boon for people. And then on my site, of course, there are charts and there are actual pictures of the amygdala and the neural connections and so on and so forth. And, I mean, it's hard science, you know. I mean, people love the idea of positive thinking and visualization and imagery. But what is really nice is we know exactly which parts of the brain do this now. So it's not hocus-pocus anymore. It's hard science.
So when this is clicked forward, though, what is it actually doing as far as, you know, affecting the result?
Okay, well, you know, the brain has something like roughly 200 billion neurons, and each one of those individual neurons has between 50 and 200,000 connections with other neurons. So if you add up all the possible connections, you come up with a number that is just hugely big. It says you have as many connections inside your brain as there literally are grains of sand on the earth. It's one of the biggest numbers that we can comprehend. You have as many connections in your brain as there are literal physical stars in the sky, okay, in the known universe. So your brain is a very powerful device which everybody's walking around with in between their two ears, you know. So the question is, if we have this miraculously powerful computer sitting on our shoulders, you know, why do we still have things like war and pollution and drug addiction and, you know, crappy jobs and things like that? Well, it's a sort of cosmic joke that you have all of this infinite potential, but you are culturally conditioned not to tap into it. You're culturally conditioned to sit in front of the boob tube and vegetate. You're culturally conditioned to read the mass corporate media, and instead of having real news, you get no news, okay? So we're culturally and conditioned by society not to use this infinite potential, okay? Now, where does that infinite potential reside? Well, Dr. Paul McLean, who is the director of brain evolution and behavior, very well-known neurosurgeon, came up with a very useful model of the brain, which he calls the triune brain. And this is accepted by pretty much everybody in medicine and neurology these days. And the triune brain means that the human brain is really three brains in one. And in the center of the human brain, we have what's called the reptile brain. And this part of our brain functions in the same manner as the brains of reptiles and snakes and lizards. It basically computes basic survival, me types of consciousness, killer ape, well, you know, mentality. It regulates the heart, your breathing, body temperature, and a fight or flight response. It has no emotions, has no concepts of planning or time. It's just basic survival, okay? Now, everybody has that part of their brain on all of the time. If that part of the brain were to switch off, you would just fall over and die because of all of the autonomic nervous system would just cease to work. So that's on
all the time in everyone. Now, surrounding that, there's a second layer, according to Paul McLean. And if you look at a model of the brain, this is all very obvious. You can actually see these sections of the brain delineated very, very easily. Around that, kind of like the core of an apple, around the seeds of an apple, the seeds perhaps being the reptile brain, you've got this core. And this is a second layer, which is called the mammal brain. And, it's also known as the limbic system, okay? Now this is on most of the time. In most people, and what it does is it adds on emotions and nurturing and basic social skills. Okay, so when this is the part of the brain that you share in common with your pet dog, your pet cat, all mammals have this second layer of the brain. It's called the mammal brain. And it adds on the emotions. You know, if you feel sad or if you feel happy, it's being generated by this limbic system, by this emotional part of the brain, okay? So most of us have got, we all have the reptile brain on, and if we're not feeling threatened, if we're not clicked backward into fight or flight, we've got a certain percentage of this mammal brain gone, okay, turned on. But the mammal brain and the reptile brain only make up about 1/6 of the bulk of the human brain. What about the other 5/6? Well, that's in this third layer called the primate brain. When you look at a brain in a jar or a picture of a brain, you see all this wriggly gray matter. That's the primate brain. And the most advanced part of the brain, just grab your forehead. Everyone listening, grab your forehead, okay? Now, everything under your hand, the whole front one-third of your cranium is filled with this portion called the frontal lobes. And that's why your forehead goes straight up, but your dog's forehead kind of goes back. If you look at a gorilla or a chimpanzee, they don't have that big bulging forehead because they don't have this big bulging frontal lobes, okay? Humans have that. That's the most advanced part of your brain. And that's where all the ESP is computed. That's what computes concepts of time. That's what computes cooperative behaviors. That's what computes imagination. That's what computes abstract thought. That's what computes problem solving. It's that frontal lobes. Now, here's the joke. The frontal lobes are turned off most of the time. Okay? The reason is because there's this little switch inside the mammal brain right in between the frontal lobes and the reptile brain called the amygdala. And it's just like the light switch on your wall. When it's clicked backwards, all the electrochemical processes are directed backwards towards the reptile brain. And when it's clicked forward, that's when you get the imagination turned on. That's when you get the cooperation turned on. That's when you get the abstract thought. That's when you understand cause and effect, okay? But now think about this. Watch TV for 10 minutes. What is your TV doing? Is it encouraging your amygdala to click forward into creativity? Or is the TV training you to click backwards into fight or flight? What do you see on TV? Is it showing you how to be creative? Or is it turning you into a couch potato? Okay? Watch the evening news. Look at the headlines on your favorite local newspaper. Which way is the newspaper directing you? Is it directing you towards creativity, cooperation, imagination, logic, intuition? Or is that newspaper headline clicking you backwards into fight or flight? Is it instilling fear in you? Is it brainwashing you? Now do you see the connection between culturally conditioned clicking forward and clicking backward?
Mm-hmm.
Is that obvious to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So what happens is society and culture is training mass numbers of humans to click backwards, right? And since problem solving, creativity, imagination is all happening in the frontal lobes, all of that is turned off and we're being clicked backwards and the amygdala people don't even realize it, but they are being trained to have their amygdala click backward into fight or flight, into being fearful, into going into war, into going into debt, into over-materialism. And so all these wonderful natural powers of paranormal ability, of ESP, of clairvoyance and clairaudience, and telekinesis, they're all turned off because we're all clicked backwards, okay? So it sounds like what's happening tomorrow is there is a deliberate conscious attempt for people, even though they don't realize they're clicking forward, but, you know, without saying it, there's, you know, there's this vibe, there's this message, hey, click forward and let's see what happens. And so that's how this thing tomorrow is really connected with hard science and with neurophysiology. And that's the way that I look at this. And, you know, I see it as a positive activity. But I think it's very important for people to understand what the physical reality of positive visualization is all about so that they can do it at any time. They don't have to wait for a special activity. You can click your amygdala forward while you're in line at the supermarket or stuck in a traffic jam or in line at the bank or in a hospital bed. And so you can click on those wonderful infinite potentials that are built inside your brain 24 hours a day, any time of your choosing.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there something like a process that they do to do that, or is it just by simply focusing on creativity and not fear that does it?
You're talking about, is the question, how do you click your amygdala forward?
Yes.
Okay. There's many ways to do it. It's very important for you to understand brain basics, you know, so that you can recognize when you have your frontal lobes clicked on, and when you have your reptile brain, you know, if you can, please go to, you know, I'm asking people, please go to the website. There's tons of free information. You don't have to buy anything. Just go there and read about brain basics. And I've just explained a little bit about the triune brain, so people are that much further ahead. Anything that helps you to turn on these frontal lobes processes will activate the most advanced part of your brain. So the easiest way is just to imagine something positive. Okay? So one thing you could do, now, the amygdala are little walnut-shaped protuberances, and they're about 1 inch inside each temple, right in between, right in back of your eyeball inside your brain. And you've got one on the left hemisphere of your brain, and you've got one for the right hemisphere of your brain. So one, the easiest way to click your amygdala forward is to imagine you have a feather, okay? And just everyone listening, imagine you've got a nice rainbow-colored feather, and you're holding it with your right hand. And with your left hand, just move your left hand up from the bottom of the feather to the top. I'm doing it right now as I speak on, and I can feel it. Even though I don't physically have a feather in my hand, it's like I can go into this parallel universe in which I do have a feather in my hand, and I can feel the feather, and I can see it, and I can see that all the rainbow colors. Or maybe, okay, now it's a blue feather. Okay, now I'm going to change it into an orange feather. See? Okay, this is the frontal lobes at work. Okay, now I'm going to take that feather, and I'm going to reach in through my forehead, go into my brain, and with the tip of that feather, I'm going to tickle this little almond walnut-shaped protuberance that's 1 inch inside the right hemisphere, and I'm going to go tickle, tickle, tickle. I'm going to tickle that right amygdala, and I'm going to move the feather over to the left hemisphere, and I'm going to touch that little amygdala portion of my brain. I'm going to go tickle, 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 right? And just that, the mere activity of imagining the feather tickling this part of my brain, it's like turning the key on the ignition of your car that automatically sends more electrochemical processes forward to occur and activating the frontal lobes. Just that mere fact of imagining that pleasant sensation of tickling the inside of my brain, you know, if I were on a PET scan machine at the hospital, you would see the frontal lobes, my frontal lobes, or anyone else who does it, light up. You'd see an increase of activity. If you had a functional MRI and you were taking a picture of my brain and I were to imagine tickling with a feather inside my cranium, you'd see that part of the brain light up. And so it's like pulling the starter on a motor. It's like the catalyst. It's like turning the key. And that's how you get that started. And once you get it started, then the engine will run on itself. And then one good idea will lead to another good idea, will lead to another good idea, and so on and so forth. The idea is to flip the switch out of fight or flight, out of culturally conditioned fear, and to click it forward into the frontal lobe. So once you do that, you've broken that negative cycle, and then you're free. And then you tap into infinite possibilities. So what I've decided to do this week is on my website, and I have a newsletter, and we have got one of the largest newsletters in Yahoo. We've got over 11,000 members in our Yahoo Your Great Brain Adventure group. And these are all, I didn't sign up a single person. These are all people who signed up on their own over the number of years. Now we've got this amazingly huge group. So this week in the newsletter, I called it Brain Radar Week. And I wanted to let people know, just personally, what my experience was. Okay, and I like to think that I keep my amygdala clicks forward, since it's my business and that's what I teach. You know, what it's like. You know, what kind of paranormal things can one expect? What's been my personal experience? So, again, if you go to brainradar.com, look for that link that says Brain Radar Week. And I've got 3 days up there, and today I'll post, this is day four. And you can see, you know, what's been happening to me. In the library section of my website, I've over the years kept a really good record of how things manifest for me. Now, I'll give you an example of something that happened 2 days ago. I bought an electric, you know, people ride around in these motor scooters these days. You see a lot of motor scooters.
Uh-huh.
Well, I bought a motor scooter last year, and it was all of $50, if you can believe it. You know, most motor scooters, I mean, they sell for hundreds of, and even thousands of dollars. And one day I decided I wanted a motor scooter, so I went on the Internet, and I found somebody who was virtually giving one away, and it was an electric motor scooter. And typically, the electric scooters are not terribly fast, but I got this one for $50, and then I played around with it, and I can get it up to about 25 miles an hour, and it'll take me downtown and back. That's like a 14-mile range, and it costs nothing to run. I get wind power energy at my house, and so it recharges for, you know, like 2 cents worth of electricity, and then I can drive it 20 miles. Anyway, a couple weeks ago, it broke. And since they don't make this electric scooter anymore, I had to find another, in order to replace the broken part, I had to find another scooter like it. And it's not a very common scooter. And I was telling my neighbor, I said, you know, she said, how's your motor scooter? And I said, well, it's broken. I need to find another one so I can replace the part. And she says to me, oh, you're really good at finding things. You'll find another one. I said, yeah, okay. So I went inside the house like 2 minutes later, and I went online, and I went on this thing called Craigslist. And every city in the country has a Craigslist, and it's like free want ads. And so I typed in Craigslist, and I said, what the heck? Let's see if somebody's got one. About a half an hour before I went online, somebody had put online for sale the exact scooter that I needed blocks away from my house, and it was dirt cheap. So I just took a picture of it, and I'll put it online, but the story about that scooter is on there, and there's some other great stories. There was, let's see, what else happened to me this week that is very typical of manifesting what you need or what you want even, you know, just...
So you're tracking the synchronicities. And...
Yeah, it's sort of brain radar. My definition of brain radar is being in the right place at the right time. Whether it means getting material stuff that you need or getting a job or meeting the right person or, you know, having a good time, whatever it is, that brain radar is like this advanced frontal lobe's ability that kind of steers you. And, you know, just like having a radar dish, right?
Mm-hmm.
But instead of a radar dish, you've got 200 billion neurons working for you, provided you click out of that reptilian part of your brain, because your reptile brain, fight or flight, hey, that's not even a tenth of your brain. That's a tenth of your potential. You want to turn on the other 90% of your brain, and then all these wonderful, synchronistic, positive, manifesting kinds of things happening. So I was going to give you another example, and I've got a picture of this little device. I'm a musician. I'm a professional musician by trade, besides being an author. And I walked into the guitar store the other day, and they came out with this nice new little four-track recorder. And I like gizmos and gimmicks. This thing is a four-track recorder. You know about tape recorders, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, multi-track. You know, when Sgt. Pepper, for example, was made on a four-track recorder, they did all the various overdubs and things like that. Well, they've miniaturized things to the extent that they can now fit a four-track recorder on something that's not much bigger than an iPod.
Wow.
It's just amazing. It's just a stupendous piece of technology. So I walked in the guitar store and I saw it and I thought, oh, I'd like one of those. But it was like, you know, $250. And I thought, well, I'm not ready to fork out $250 for a new toy. But in the back of my head, I'm thinking, yeah, I would kind of like one of those. So about 3 days ago, or two days ago, I went online again, and I'm just scrolling through the stuff, and somebody had a brand new one for sale for $125. And I said, "Hey, that's what I wanted." And I called them up, went and picked it out. So that's how things manifest for you if your brain radar is turned on, you know. And I don't want to emphasize that it's just getting material stuff. That's really just symbolic, you know. What's more important is that you have a life that you enjoy, that you have a job that you enjoy, that you have a government that represents you in the way that you want to be represented, that you have care for, that you have physical care for you, that you have a nice place to live, that you have nice neighbors. All those things will manifest for you as well as soon as you learn to click out of reptile fight or flight, killer ape mentality, and forward into cooperative, creative, imaginative, logical, intuitive imagination of your frontal lobes. That's what clicking your amygdala forward is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Just
so really
click out of reptile brain and into your advanced frontal lobes. And brain magic.
Being in the flow.
Yes.
Living in the flow without that sort of struggle and will and dragging yourself.
Well, you know, one of the things I think is a really good brain exercise for people is to go to your local zoo, okay? And the reason I say that is I want people to go and look at different animals. Go to the reptile exhibit and watch how the reptiles move. And they're very kind of, generally they're kind of jerky and they're cold and they're emotionless. They just sit on a rock and they don't relate to it, you know? And realize that inside your head you've got a part of your brain that operates on that same level. Okay, and then go over to watch the monkeys play, and they socialize and they play around, and they hop and they groom each other, and you've got this big primate brain that allows you to operate on that level of cooperative play, and watch the mammals play with each other, you know, and then when you're done looking at the animals, start to watch the people. and see if you can tell when people are clicked into their reptile brain and which people are clicked into their frontal lobes. And it's really interesting, because what you'll see is you'll see the same type of behavior that you observed in these more rudimentary types of animal behaviors, but you'll see people who are clicked into their reptile brain when they're fighting with their spouse or when they're yelling at their kids, right? And then you'll see some other humans that are clicked into their play behaviors, their higher mammal play. You know, mammals play, but reptiles, you know, they lay their eggs and split. Kids, you're on, they don't socialize, see? You can really spot the difference between reptilian behavior and mammal behavior and higher primate types of behavior. And it's very easy to, and it's really fun to see this at the zoo. You say, oh, yeah, that person's behaving like a snake, and that person over there is behaving like a fox. See? It's a good way of kind of observing others, and then you can apply that to your own behavior, and then you can consciously click your amygdala into which part of your brain you want to activate.
Interesting. I'm just looking at your other manifestation accomplishments that you've posted so far on your page, and I've got to ask, what's the deal with the popsicle? I'm like, wow.
That was just a fun picture. I, you know, it says steaks and popsicles, but you need to know I've been a vegetarian for 30 years, so I'm not advertising steak eating here, but although I'm sure some people like to eat steaks. The idea was that I just was looking for an excuse to put that picture up because I loved that picture. I thought, here's an adult acting like a kid, you know? And one of the things that happens to us as we get older is we lose this play connection, which is tied into frontal lobes imagination. You know, kids play an awful lot. The kids are naturally clicked into their frontal lobe imagination circuits. They're naturally clicked into their play mode. And advanced animals play. They enjoy pretending and using their imagination. Okay? But as we get older, we're culturally conditioned to become serious adults and to stop using our imagination. Well, you do that, it's like cutting off your arm. That's where all of your advanced abilities reside, in the same part of your brain that allows you to play. You know, when Einstein or Edison had a problem they couldn't solve, what did they do? They didn't stew over the problem. Einstein would pick up his violin. You know, Sherlock Holmes, although he was a fictional character, he would play his violin. Edison would relax. He'd take a cat nap. And then these wonderful progressive problem-solving things would happen in these genius people, because they knew how to tap into that playful, imaginative part of the brain. So that picture of me eating the popsicle in front of the grocery store is just kind of a visual way that I'm saying to adults, hey, don't be so serious. Be like a kid and turn on those childlike imaginative behaviors, and you'll be turning on all of this wonderful dormant potential that's residing inside your frontal lobes. So that's what that picture is about.
Absolutely, though. We take ourselves way too seriously. And probably a great sign that we're not pointing the right way with our amygdalas. What about this biplane picture here?
You know, things land in my lap. People, you know, I'm constantly astonishing people with things land in my lap. And so this was very interesting, because this past year I started getting into model airplane flying. And one of the, again, tying back in with kids and playing, one of the exercises that I tell people it was really good for your brain and to turn on that infinite potential is to think of your favorite toy that you had as a kid and that you maybe haven't had for 10, 20, 30, 40 years or more, and go get another one of those toys and go play with it. Okay? Turn on that play part of your brain again. So one of the things I've been doing is, when I was a kid, one of my most favorite toys was this little airplane. And I haven't seen one of these in since I was a kid, but it was a little toy airplane, and you would sit in the passenger seat of your car, and you'd have a remote control stick, and there'd be kind of a wire, and the plane would, and you'd roll up the window, and the plane would be outside of the window with a propeller, right? And you could be a kid going somewhere with your mom, and you would be able to fly this plane up and down that was hanging outside the window of the car. I guess I know why they don't make those anymore. But
yeah, I was going
to
say.
It was really cool. It was the coolest thing. And I think about it, I mean, you can hear me laughing because it was so much fun. So I built a lot of model airplanes when I was a kid. So this past year, I went to the hobby shop. And I also made a film. I made a film called Captain Sherlock Solves 911, and you can see clips from that on YouTube also. So I had to build some model airplanes for this film as well. So I sort of got back into airplanes. And so believe it or not, last week I was flying a model airplane at the park, you know, an electric remote-controlled airplane, and I think at this point I've kind of outgrown this plane. I've done every, you know, it was kind of a basic plane. I was thinking, you know, and I was thinking, I'd like to get a little fancier one, you know, one that had a little more features and one that was a little more challenging to fly. And I was sending emails to my friend in Seattle, and we were talking about planes, right? I mean, this is on my mind, a nicer plane, right? So this was 3 days ago. This is during Brain Radar Week. And I go to a garage sale because this lady had an electric piano for sale. And I'm always looking for instruments. You know, I've got a million instruments here. So I'm always looking for bargain instruments. And I looked at this piano that she had. I didn't buy it. As I'm in the house, there are all these airplanes in the basement. And her stepfather had died, and he was like this ex-FBI agent, and he was absolutely obsessed with building gas and electric radio-controlled airplanes. And she turned to me, and she says, take them. She said, you can take them all if you want. I said, what? She says, yeah, just take whatever you want. I said, well, I don't think I want to take all of them, but, you know, let me look, and I'll pick one out. So the one I ended up taking home was this yellow biplane with a 7-foot wingspan. I had to take the wings off to get it inside my car. It has this gigantic 4-stroke engine on it, you know, with overhead cams. My dog could get in this plane and fly it. I mean, I'm not going to do that, but it's that big. It takes up half my living room. And it was just like, you know, stuff just lands in my lap. It's just manifest. And again, I didn't deliberately say, oh, okay, I'm going to manifest this airplane. You know, it's just brain radar just puts you in the right place at the right time. I had no idea this lady had airplanes. But you see how that works? It's freaky.
Oh, yeah.
It's brain magic. And this stuff happens to me like every single day. So that's what this brain radar was about, just documenting this. Because when I tell people this, you know, they think I'm either making it up or I'm crazy. I'm putting pictures on the website. And if you go through on my website, the library from another dimension, I mean, I've got dozens of pages like this that show you, you know, these kinds of things that happen to me. Plus, when people join the newsletter, every single week I send out two newsletters, and people send me their stories, and I post their brain radar stories. What happens to them when they start clicking their amygdala forward? And sometimes it's a big thing, and sometimes it's just a little thing. Like, for example, one guy said, yeah, Dear Neil, I just learned how to click my amygdala forward. Thank you very much. I had lost something, and I couldn't find it, and I clicked my amygdala forward, and 2 minutes later, I found it. You know, it's stuff like that. You know, sometimes it's a little thing, and sometimes it's, you know, it's a gigantic thing. So.
Well, I'm wondering how this can apply, you know, to, I mean, I had the same reaction when I first heard about the thing tomorrow, you know, everybody kind of focusing for an hour, and my reaction was only an hour. You know, you want to be focusing that way all the time, right?
Yeah, sure.
And if going on that train of thought for a moment, exponentially, have you ever done any sort of research or anything? I don't know if this pertains to critical mass or whatever, but how many of us striving, you know, to do this all the time? To stay focused in the flow and clicked forward and however you want to say it, you know? How many
You're asking a good question. I think the basic question is, you know, when is humankind going to evolve into, you know, a new species out of, you know, Homo sapien into Homo novus or something, you know? I don't know that there's, you know, an answer to that. I think the only answer is just do the best you can. You know, learn what you can do as an individual to stay positive yourself and apply that to yourself as much as you can. And, you know, that's all you can do. Put forth what effort you can and, you know, that's what you do. In terms of
differently, I was just going to say, let's word the question differently, as opposed to evolving into a new species. You know, I mean, you haven't changed a species, and you're able to maintain, you know, for the most part, right? Clicking forward.
Well, I wonder about that though, because we are used to thinking that evolution is something that means a physical change, but maybe the next step in evolution has to do with a neurological change that happens within the wiring inside the human brain.
Interesting.
Maybe it's a change that is an internal evolution, and that's what I look forward to, because I think that will have the most, you know, we can grow a sixth finger or a sixth toe. We can grow a new arm, and that's not going to fundamentally change how we relate to the planet and how we act as a species. But you know, you can take an African chimpanzee, and you can take what's called a bonobo chimp, and they look pretty much the same, but the behavior characteristics of these two different kinds of chimpanzees is dramatically different. Where one is a very peaceful, non-aggressive, very socially well-behaved species, whereas the other type of chimpanzee is very aggressive, cannibalistic, warring. And the only real difference between those two chimps is what's going on behaviorally inside their skulls. So I think the next step in evolution for humanoids really is an evolution that occurs within inside the human brain, the way that the neurons are connected. And that's a real physical change, but it happens on a molecular level, and it happens within neural pathways.
We're able to change. By changing our focus, we're able to change out of the reptilian flight or fight kind of mode to this higher consciousness without doing anything else, like without physically evolving, right?
Well, yes, except that when you change your thought, you actually do change the physical reality inside the brain. You can, you know, if one were to examine, and they have done this on rats, of course, when you change how you think, you actually change the physical structure within the brain. You create new neural pathways. These are called axons and dendrites. These are the little arms and legs and tentacles that connect one neuron to another. So as you change your thinking and your thought processes, you actually change the physical structure of the human brain. Now, one interesting thing, now, it's in my, let me see if I can go into, I'm going to, I just switched phones here.
Okay.
Reason is because I'm walking into my office. I just clipped something out of the newspaper yesterday, and it had to do with, well, it's kind of funny because I've been writing about this for 20 years. Okay, here it is. Here's the headline by Robert Weller, Associated Press. The headline is, Brain Can Be Trained to Suppress Bad Memories. University of Colorado study suggests. Well, yes, we know that, and we've known that from the brain lab that I worked at beginning in 1982. And the idea is this. You have in your brain these memories, and memories are constructs within the brain that, well, we all know what memories are. Memories are not specifically localized in specific regions of the brain, but it's as if you've got a network connecting different parts of the brain, and the network itself creates a memory of sights and smells and sounds and images. Okay? Now, when you have a bad negative event in your life, and when I say bad, I mean an event that threatens your survival, that causes you pain, and really pain is just your perception of some type of event that threatens your personal survival or threatens the survival of your species. Okay? We call this a trauma memory. For example, let's say you were a four-year-old kid and you saw the nice, pretty blue flower on top of the stove. So you put your hand up to touch the flower and you burned your fingers, not being taught that that pretty blue flower is really just a hot flame. So that's a trauma memory. So what you've done then is you've made this, you've had this memory of reaching out towards a flower and burning yourself. And maybe that person has an aversion towards blueberries or bluebells or flowers in general. And you eventually you forget that specific memory, but your brain has been trained in some type of aversion type of behavior. And you end up with phobias, and you end up having a distaste for things. Or you end up having a bad associate, and it really changes the way you live through any type of trauma type of event. And you may grow up having types of behaviors that are really not in your own best interest, but you don't know what they are. Maybe they're antisocial behaviors, maybe they're personal types of just weird phobias or weird habits. Maybe you begin chain smoking to compensate for a trauma memory. So what we learned at the brain lab is you can go back and you can reprogram and you can rewrite the trauma memory. You can rediscover this traumatic event. You can analyze it, and then you can reprogram your brain so that instead of having a negative behavior as an outgrowth of this trauma, you can either have a neutral type of behavior or have a positive type of behavior, okay? So we do an exercise called self-trauma drama, or I call it mind movie rewrite. And essentially what it is you just go back and you erase the trauma memory and you replace it with a positive memory. Well, so here we have in the newspaper, brain can be trained to suppress bad memories, and that's exactly what they're talking about, is replacing trauma memories with positive memories, and the outcome is having a more positive, more constructive behavior.
Interesting. Well, and that's,
I can't remember why I brought that up. What was your question before I brought up that story?
Oh, God, I didn't know there was going to be a test at the end. You know, I don't remember either. We've been in the flow this whole hour. It's been amazing, but I like where that's going, maybe we can get together and do another show about that, because that's a huge issue with people trying to make positive change, and they're dealing with their own conditioned behavior from negative crap that you don't even know that's in there, you know? So.
Well, you have to go back. You work, typically the technique is to work backward. You start with a recent trauma memory, and you fix that one. And as soon as you fix that one, it's kind of like an iceberg floating to the top. And then you say, oh, yeah, I remember something that happened 2 weeks ago. And so you clean that memory up. And then, oh, I remember that something that happened 3 weeks ago. And really, most people only have about a dozen basic traumas. And all your traumas are really variations on a theme. It's kind of like you keep making the same mistake over and over again, right? So as soon as you fix one, you haven't just fixed one. You fixed a whole pile of them, because they're all interrelated in that way.
Which is precisely why that's very important work. So I'd love to get you on again. We're actually at the top of the hour already.
Oh, all right. I'm going to go play music tonight. I just realized we play guitar music on a Monday night. So
oh my gosh.
I'm off myself.
I'm so glad that we caught you, and I think it was part of my synchronicity to catch you today for the live show with us and you being in the middle of Brain Radar Week. So
that sounds great. Well, I was very happy. I'm going to post this picture of my newfound electric motor scooter replacement, and so I encourage people to go to brainradar.com and take the YouTube links and take the Brain Radar Week. One thing I wanted to mention too, I publish 5 books. I have a feature-length movie. I have 20 audio and music CDs, and I've just put them together on this super DVD. So there's a link if people want to get some brain materials. This is my 30-second commercial. They can go to the website and they can read about that too. And it's like dirt cheap. So
okay, brainreader.com. There you go.
Yeah.
And we've been talking to Neil Slade. Thank you so much, Neil Slade, for being
here. Well, it was a pleasure.
Absolutely. We'll get you on again and find out more synchronicities and miracles that have happened for you. And I'd love to hear from people at home listening tomorrow when you participate, and like we were saying during the show, you know, keeping in that space, not just, I mean, what are you going to do at the end of the hour tomorrow? Oh, well, let's go back to crap. You know, keep in that space. And then I want to hear about synchronicity. I can't even say it, but you know what I'm saying. Synchronicities and miracles happening for you. Send me some emails, miracles@newsforthesoul.com. And thanks for tuning in, everybody. We're back here on Thursday, and lots of new stuff coming up. So stay tuned. You can hear all of our shows, all of your time, for free, newsforthesoul.com. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.